And it's our honor and privilege to have our dear friend John and Ruth with us this morning. Let's give John and Ruth a hand. And many of you may have known them before, and they have been with us almost every year, right? They come back to us, and we just family together in the kingdom of God. And they have been a missionary in Zambia for about 20 years. So being faithful servant of God there. Allow me to introduce them once again. If you still get chance to know them, acquainted with them. And they have served as Zambia's Trans-Africa Theological College, working with an excellent group of Zambian leaders. They provide training for some 140 church planters and leaders every year. And the 180-acre campus provides a practical skills training center featuring agriculture and tailoring skills. And off campus, John and Ruth minister in churches across the country, participate in conferences and seminars, provide assistance for church construction, and support ministry to orphans and widows, and so on and so on. And we are so happy to have them back home to share with us. Let's give a warm welcome to Pastor John and Ruth.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen, and good morning, Richmond Pentecostal Church. It's very nice to see you today, and we are blessed, are we not? Isn't the presence of God wonderful? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. So we have a short video clip, which will probably introduce us better than I can do, so let's go to that. And then Ruth is going to come and say a few words.
We're John and Ruth Kerr from Kitwe, Zambia, and we work at Trans-Africa Theological College.
John and I have been in Zambia for close to 20 years, ever since I was a young person. I knew I would be going into ministry. But the call to missions came rather late in life, and we actually were asked to go and said, okay, we'll go for short term. And that short term, the Lord really got a hold of our heart and said, this is where I want you.
God just opens new challenges and projects and opportunities year by year. And there's never been a time when we felt our job was finished.
We teach practical subjects and theological subjects and general studies.
And so to be able to touch the lives of people who are in the surrounding communities. We're surrounded by shanty towns, so we've been able to initiate agriculture programs that help teach conservation agriculture. And we've been able to start a tailoring school with help from Canadian friends that really provides a livelihood for a lot of the women that surround the campus.
But we're also involved in many other ministries. We help to fund a crisis pregnancy center. We do an orphan feeding program at a community school. We try to help them with school fees to go on to high school. So when you see these needs in the community, you just get involved.
One of the things that we really enjoy doing is opening the college up to the social needs around us, because Zambia is 75% poverty.
Over 70% are under 25. And these compounds, there's about six of them close to the college, there would be a population of 200,000 to 300,000 there. So you take 70% of that would be youth or under 25. There's a lot of young people in that area. They bring their gifts and skills to the table over there. But there are certain things that they could not be doing without Canada being involved. And so we are so appreciative of the support for building buildings and sending out materials and resources. The work could not be done without that. Thank you, Canada.
And thank you, Richmond. You have been faithful supporters and prayer support for the last 20 years, and we appreciate that. God bless you for that, because we couldn't do the work that we do over there without the faithful giving of people from Canada. I want to share a little story. You saw that building at the end. You heard the statistics of all the young people there. About 5 years ago, a young man contacted us by email from Kenya, and he shared a story that was unbelievable. He was a drug addict, addicted to alcohol, thrown out of his home, no family, raised on the streets, part of a street gang, homeless. And he came to just the end of himself. He had gotten married, and his wife was leaving him because of his abusive behavior. A missionary lady found him, brought him in, told him about Jesus, and his life was transformed. He got training a little bit in the gospel, and he wrote to us and wanted to come to our college. And we looked at this application, this background, divorced. But God said, he needs to come. He came, was trained, and he got the burden for these young people in the community. He started a soccer league, a discipleship program, because they had nothing to do. And he saw they were heading down the same path that he was, had been on. And so he got out into the community, helped to meet some of the needs out of his own pocket that they were facing, and started this soccer league, which has about 2,000 young people in it today. We started with the senior guys, and then the junior one says, well, what about us? Then the girls, what about us? We want to be involved too. And the change in their lives, even on the soccer pitch, they don't fight as much as they used to. But the wonderful ending of this story is, we are building a youth center. He is staying on after graduation. We are helping to support him and to keep reaching these young people, to provide a safe place for them. He went home last Christmas to Kenya just to have a visit. And a miracle happened. He found his ex-wife. He found out that with the little boy that she left with, she was pregnant. He was the father of a little girl. They were reunited as a family. They renewed their vows. And now we're trying to prepare a place for the whole family to come to Zambia when we get back. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? That his life was transformed. He has transformed many. And let me just leave this little thought with you this morning. It doesn't matter what your background is. God can use it to bring glory to the kingdom of God. He can use you to reach out to people that need to hear your story, what you've been through. So let me encourage you this morning to allow God to use your past, your transformed life, to reach others for the gospel. God bless you, and it's really good to be here with you today.
Well, we are crossing Canada these days to visit old friends and supporters. We used to pastor in Calgary, Alberta. Before we went to Africa, we were at Beddington. And so we go back to Beddington and tell people what we're up to. And we get to visit grandchildren at the same time. We have four in Minnesota. They are our Americans. And then we have three in Edmonton. So in order to visit grandchildren, we have to cross Canada. We take a lot of pictures as we go because this time of year, Canada is so beautiful. A couple of nights ago, we were in Jasper. We got up early in the morning, and I was stopping for pictures all the time. Ruth said, "You let me drive, or we're never going to get to Vancouver." So she is our designated driver these days. But we did want to come to Richmond for sure and say thank you so much for your wonderful support. We were doing the math recently, and we feel that we have a circle of influence of 100,000 people in Zambia who are your friends and partners, who you have helped to train, and they in turn have trained others in chaplaincy. Many of them are chaplains in the military. One of them, Ignatius Mununga, has 700 military men come to his weekly chaplain's hour. 700. He says when they bring their spouses and families, we have to move outside. So he's just one of about 500 graduates that we've had over this time, and they all have their circle of influence and blessing. They're planting churches. They're involved in the school system. They are doing chaplaincy work in various sectors of Zambian society. Zambia is receiving election results today, and we're trying to get the results. There are basically two parties that are vying for power, and they're very close together. We wish one was a little further ahead so that it could be a less competitive contest. But breathe a prayer for Zambia today, because it's a very close election and a lot of animosity on both sides. Very peaceful country. We've never had a war, hardly ever have bloodshed. God's grace is upon the place. And that's because Zambia has responded so well to the gospel. And that's what I wanted to share with you today from Matthew 13 and 31. He spoke a parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. We often tell people that we live in the mustard tree because Zambia's gospel work started so small. When David Livingstone, the missionary, died in Zambia in 1873, there was nothing to show for his 40 years of labor. He had come to South Africa and moved up north. He discovered Victoria Falls and the great Zambezi River that runs through the heart of the continent. And he spoke the gospel and learned the tribal languages and discovered lost people as he went all across Central Africa. You remember how he decided around the year 1845 to walk across Africa all the way out to Angola and then back again through Zambia out to the East Coast. A tremendous feat by a man who traveled light, a missionary explorer. But the results that he saw from all of his labors were very small. In fact, when he died in 1873, biographers said that he was a failure in almost everything he attempted. They said, "We can only find one convert, and slavery, it's just as bad as it's always been. Tribes selling other tribe men to Europeans and Arabs so that they can go and populate the world elsewhere." So that's what was happening in Zambia just 150 years ago. Imagine that. All of that was so bleak. He used to preach to big crowds along the Chobe River, where we sometimes take tour groups just over the border in Botswana. A lovely place for a tour. You can spend all day, all morning on the Chobe River, seeing crocodiles and elephants and hippos all in the water there. And then in the afternoon, they take you on a land safari, so you get a little bit of both. We sometimes take visitors up to the Chobe River where Livingston preached. And one time he said, in 1866, I preached to a very large and responsive crowd today. They were very attentive to the Word of God. But then in his journal, he says, I went into the chief's palace after the meeting, and he was getting drunk with all his men. And Livingston said, it's going to take time to change minds as dark as these. Ha! That was in 1866, very close to the end of his life. When someone was accused of a crime in those tribes, he would have to drink poison. They would bring him up with his accuser, drink some poison. If you survived, you were innocent. You can imagine how many needless deaths and false accusations were taking place in Zambia just that few generations back. And slavery continued to poison all the tribes. Arab slave traders would buy from the Africans and leave whole villages emptied. One time Livingston went through Malawi, which is our neighbor country, a region that had been very prosperous, lots of maize, lots of productivity on the soil, and it looked like there had been a forest fire through all the villages. They were abandoned and people had just fled. There were skeletons and bones where villages used to be. And this was after 30 years of travel in Africa and raising the consciousness of the West about slavery and its terrible destructiveness on Southern Africa. He was seeing no change toward the end of his life. And yet this man had given his whole life to eradicate slavery. His motto was Christianity and civilization. They can change this world that I'm walking in. Then there were the warrior tribes, the Ngonis, the Tumbukas, the Tongas, and the Lundas, the Chewas. These were the tribes that Livingston moved among in Zambia. And the Ngonis were the most warlike. They would consider a young man not really a man until he had killed someone from another tribe. And they were so aggressive. They had come up from Southern Africa, connected with the Zulu tribe back then, and they were such warriors. People say they learned their war strategy from the European, how to divide up into companies and attack a tribe. They nearly exterminated the Tonga people of Zambia. One of the men who's running for office today is a Tonga. They nearly exterminated the Tongas. They pushed the Tumbukas right to the edge. When missionaries started to move among these tribes after Livingston, they found all their villages barricaded and everyone living in fear of the Ngonis. And so that was the world that Zambia was 150 years ago. Or less, 110 years ago, that was Zambia. And that's the world that David Livingston left behind. But think about this. Today, Ruth and I work with about 250 students and pastors a year. They're evangelists, teachers, community leaders, chaplains, theologians, researchers. And who are they? They are Tongas, Tumbukas, Lundas, and Ngonis. They are the original tribes of Zambia that were pushed to the brink by all of that paganism that their forefathers were involved in. And the result, and how can we possibly witness such a transformation? It's a statement to the power of the gospel. Amen. As we were singing today, our God is unstoppable. And when he begins to move, who can stand against us? That's the reality of Zambia. David Livingstone planted seed. He planted mustard seed all over that part of the world. And it just took root and went down deep. And after he died, it began to bring forth that wonderful harvest. You know those Ngoni warriors who wanted to exterminate all the other tribes? Today, they're the most effective evangelists that we have in Zambia. Amen. God has turned them into warriors for the gospel. Roy Teo and Trimble Tembo and Barry Alunga. Barry Alunga is a short little man. He's getting to be a little older now, but he walks all across Zambia with the Jesus film. And he says, I walk until God says stop. When he stops, he sets up the film in the villages and shows it, stays and preaches for a while, and leaves a church planted behind. Hopefully he finds an elder to lead that church. That's Barry Alunga walking across his country for the gospel. I just walk until God says stop. Clara Daka, one of our third-year students, she is an Ngoni. And God has called her to evangelize young people. And so she goes among those soccer league kids from around our campus and does Bible studies every week with the young women. And she teaches skills like making beads and necklaces and things. And she's just committed fully to evangelizing her generation. She probably doesn't know that a few generations ago, her ancestors were poisoning and destroying one another. It's like a radical transformation of a people group by the power of the gospel. And so our Trans-Africa College is kind of a center of transformation there in the heart of the country that David Livingstone gave his life to. And you are helping us year by year just to expand that circle of influence for the gospel and see that gospel expand and grow across borders and all around that central part of Africa. If you go to South Africa and then you turn left or north, it's just two countries till you reach Zambia. It's shaped like a butterfly in the center of Africa. And it borders eight nations. So we have a lot of neighbors, and we have to stay on good terms with everybody. But our Trans-Africa College is just a small part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in Africa, isn't it? You think about the Zambia Church. It's much bigger than our college. They say that 75% of the population of Zambia, that's about 14 million people, 75% claims to be Christian on some level. And so Christian presence in Africa is very strong. When the Evangelical Fellowship and the Catholic Council of Bishops gets together, it can tell the government to please stop doing that or please do something different because it has a lot of influence. It's wonderful to live in a nation like that, where the spirit of Christ is strong and the values of the Christian faith are really emphasized. There's so much prayer and intercession around the nation. I'm sure at this election time, there must be national days of prayer regularly for the nation. In our little community where we live in Parklands, in the city of Kitwe, which is a mining city, we often get up in the morning and we hear the sounds of prayer around our community. It's like the Lighthouse Church over here is having a morning prayer time. And so it's like a blessing coming down upon our neighborhood. We are blessed. It's been a wonderful response to the gospel. One time I was up on the university campus. It's not far from where we live. And I was up for a little morning walk, and I saw people all over the roads, and I asked one of the ladies what was happening. She said, this is our day of prayer. And I said, oh, I thought the day of prayer was, there was a national day of prayer on October 15. She said, no, we do this every day. And so the student body of the Copper Belt University were having daily prayer times at 6 in the morning, just asking God to bless the nation, because the nation was in crisis at that time. But I said to her, well, I'm going to have to go and tell my students at the college that you're doing this, and they will join you. There's a spirit of prayer and intercession that prevails across Zambia. So we believe that God's blessing will continue to rest on the nation because the response to the gospel has been so strong. But then you think of Southern Africa as a whole, and people like Philip Jenkins say that there's a shift in the center of gravity of the Christian faith to the south, isn't it? That in our day, we're seeing the Church of Southeast Asia, and we're seeing the Church of Africa, and we're seeing the Church of Latin America, all of those southern nations, become the centers of the Christian faith. And Jenkins says, it used to be exactly the opposite, that Europe and North America, that's where the center of Christianity has been. But he says we're seeing the most radical change in the last 50 years, where the whole center of gravity has moved to the south. He says the largest single block, 500 million people, is still to be found in Europe. But Latin America is very close behind, with 490 million believers. And Africa has 389 million, and 344 million Asians profess Christianity. North America has about 226 million believers. And so he says what's even more amazing is that the gospel is growing so fast in the southern hemisphere. He says the number of African Christians, imagine if David Livingstone could hear these words, the number of African Christians is growing at about 2.3% every year, which would lead us to project that the continent's Christian population will double in less than 30 years. That means that by the year 2035, if you and I are still around, there will be 800 million Christians on the continent of Africa. Praise God, eh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when you think about that small mustard seed that was planted, it's just a testimony to the truth of our text today, that it's a very small beginning, but it has a very large, mega, mega harvest at the end. So what does that say to you and I today? I close with this idea or two to leave with you. Number one, we don't always see the results of our labors, but we should not worry too much. Thing is to be faithful. Amen. Be faithful in our witness. Be faithful in living the life. God is the one who gives the increase. One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. So let's not lose heart about that. And number two, there's a great division of labor in the kingdom of God. David Livingstone was really more of an explorer, and he loved to scatter the seed of the gospel as he went, while he was discovering plants and animals and peoples that nobody had ever heard of. He was a naturalist. And yet, out of that passion of an explorer and a naturalist, he shared his faith. He shared gospel good news. And it was only after he died that missionaries came in response to him laying down his life. And there were people like Dr. Laws, who was an educator, and people like John Fraser, who was a tremendous evangelist and people person, and people like Elmsley, who went to live among the Ngoni people and convinced the chiefs that they needed to have some schools so that the children of the chiefs could be strong people and could have European benefits and things like that. He planted schools all across southern Africa. It was the people who came after that really finished the work that David Livingstone had begun. And so let us not despair if we don't see the full results of our labors today or even tomorrow. David Livingstone had to go to heaven before he saw the results of all of his labors. One plants, another waters. There's a division of labor in the kingdom of God. And I think we could also say something about how the birds come and nest. You see in our text how it says, becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. That's happening in Zambia today. People like to be there because it's a peaceful nation, small, and people can do business and be successful and not fear that they're going to be expropriated and things. The Chinese have come to Zambia in great numbers. Our particular province is called the Copper Belt. And I think we are the second largest copper producer, the copper reserves in the world. And so the Chinese since the time that we have been there, have come with a lot of skills and a lot of energy to refurbish mines that were not functioning well and to build new mines. The price of copper is down right now, kind of like oil. But there's tremendous potential for development in the copper sector of Africa. I think we have 180,000 Chinese people in the Copper Belt, if not present, projected, working in the mines. Working in the mines. And they're fixing the roads and leaving a lot of benefits behind. They have even refurbished the golf course in our city so that it looks like what it was when it was first built by Gary Player back in the 40s. So a lot of good things are happening through this infusion of new resources and new skills coming from China. But one of our pastors, David Chibali, says, I must share the gospel with these Chinese people. They don't know Jesus, and it's our responsibility. God has brought them to us. So he started a church ministry to the Chinese in Zambia. Imagine that. That's like the gospel coming full circle. And we had some people around who had friends over in Beijing. They said, I know Zhang Zhou and Patricia. I'm going to ask them to come to Zambia and be pastors for the new Chinese church. So right now we call them JJ and Patricia. They're in our town in Kitwe, and they're networking among the Chinese and reaching a lot of people for the gospel. They're helping them to read the Bible in their language and to receive Jesus. It's a wonderful thing what God has done. It's like the birds have come to perch in the branches of the mustard tree, and that's the tree that we live in. So my last point is, what better investment can we make? This is a Mission Sunday, and I want to encourage you to keep giving to missions, world missions, Zambia missions, wherever God stirs your heart to extend the gospel. It's going to bring great results. Your labors will not be in vain, and God will even do things that surprise you. Some people like to have a project. We have a little table set up at the back. No big projects listed there. But one thing we do need is new computers for our computer lab. We have about 20 computers in our computer lab. And we got them when the TD Bank and Canada Trust amalgamated. And so there were a lot of extra computers. They ended up in Zambia. I think that was too long ago, and some of those computers, they're no longer functioning as well as they should. So one of our missions on this trip home is to bring back some more upgraded computers. You might have a connection somewhere, and you could talk to us about that. We have a container that comes over once every year, 40-foot container, So if we get stuff to that container, it comes to bless Zambia. And God bless you. May all of your labors for the kingdom be greatly successful because of his divine enablement. God is great. Amen.